Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you as we have this pioneering heart to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
I didn't click it on. Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here this morning and really excited what God is actually doing in our midst. Let's pray first before we approach God's word, because God really does want to speak to us today. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to be under the word of God. Lord, you have spoken through scriptures, but Lord, you bring revelation on a daily basis to us to bring us into the understanding of who we are in Christ and what you're wanting to do through us. So Lord, will you have your way amongst us as we just commit ourselves to your strength, to your power, that, Lord, you would renew our minds and bring us to a fullness of understanding your ways and your truth now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We've started the book of Philippians and really just sensed that we're going to continue that, but I just, you know, we've got to be led by the Spirit of God, and I just really just sensed the Spirit of God just arrested me and wanted me to deal with this topic, and I might be doing it over 2 weeks. And the title of the topic is Becoming Mature Financially. And I just have a strong impression in my heart is that God's warning us about his coming back. And the reality, the systems of the world are collapsing. They're honestly not on the path to succeed. We cannot live the way we used to live. And God wants us to be holding on to his financial system, onto his system, the kingdom of God, and to bring freedom and liberty to our lives. And we cannot be having one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. God wants to release us from that. But what I want to just start off with, and just to encourage you, I don't want to put principles before you or values. I want to bring aspects of what we are and who we are in Christ. And I want to just really encourage you, this area of finances and other areas, God wants to bring us to maturity in Christ. And this is not an easy thing. As you come out of the world, God wants to teach us to depend upon him and depend upon his ways, and he wants us to grow in these things. Now, I don't know, as you come to Christ as your Lord and Savior, we had a way to live before, and now we come into the kingdom, and now we got to learn all over again. And I'm telling you now that our Father wants us to be so dependent upon him. He doesn't want us to be in a place that we carry the burdens of this life. All of you, I'm sure, are going through something at the moment. I don't know what it is, but when I talk to you, life is not as rosy as everyone thinks it is. You might be putting this mask on and be hiding what's behind it, but we're all going through something. And I want to just say, we as we're growing into maturity in Christ, our Father wants us to come to a place that we offload everything to him and allow him to be Lord and the master of our lives. But unfortunately, we take the burden back. And God doesn't want us to be that. But how do we get to this? We've got to get to a place of maturity, of renewing our minds, growing up in him, and allowing Jesus to be the head of his body. We are the body of Christ, and we've got to let Jesus be the head of his body. That's why we've got to bring things to him and allow him to guide us and lead us. So he brings us to a place where we've got to make choices in our lives. And in our choices that we've got to make in our lives, we've got to learn Christ. Now, this sounds so easy, but let me tell you, God will use everything that comes across your path to teach you who you are in Christ and who Christ can work through you. Now, that sounds, well, I know Jesus lives inside of me, but you've got to learn him because he's God Almighty and he wants to show you his ways and his word to you. How can you deal with these things? Now, The world teaches us a different way, but God wants to teach us His truth from His Word. So in everything that we face in our lives, from our relationships in our families to those difficult relationships that we're dealing with in our workplaces, even in our homes, to our finances, to every aspect, to our health, all these things, God wants to teach us His ways that we would grow up and understand Christ in that. And that's the maturity that God wants us to come into. He wants us to come to a maturity in Christ that would be Christ living in us and Christ working through us. You know, this whole area, as we're going to be dealing with this area of finances, I trained as an accountant. I had the opportunity to study and to understand a bit of what the debit and credits can do. But unfortunately, the universities of this world are teaching the wrong system. They are teaching you, yes, to record every transaction, but they are teaching you a capitalist system, a worldly system, is to maximize profit. It's good to make profit, but to maximize profit. They're teaching men and women, young men and women, to become greedy. And a greed system. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong not to account things correctly, that you must account things correctly, you must make a profit. But the system of the world teaches us to maximize profit. And I got caught up in that. I landed up in a financial role in a company. And you know, when we had to do budgeting and all those type of things, and everyone tried to spend money, my first response will be, no, you cannot have it. And if they could motivate it, then I would release the finances. And when I left there, they gave me a little statue with meerkats, because I always had my beady eye looking over the finances, seeing what was going on. Pardon the key? And unfortunately, my children and my wife have been subjected to that Dr. No, which is not good. So I've had to learn too. So even though I might be trained in finances, in understanding the debits and credits, but understanding God's system has been a journey, and we're all upon that journey. So again, the theme of my message today is becoming mature financially. My text is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. And if you want to turn your Bibles, I want to read that to you. It was He, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And the truth is, in my first point, is becoming mature. And in His church, God wants us to come to a place of attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There's this journey that we come. We get to a place where we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We get saved. We receive His salvation. But then He wants to bring us into the fullness of Christ. And this is a journey that all of us have to face. And, you know, God blesses us in families with children, and the joy of having children born into our families, and they start small, and then it's nappies, and then it's the terrible twos, and then it's the sleepless threes. I don't know, we go through all those different things and the joy of having children. But thank God they don't stay babies. Because imagine if you get to 50 and you're still changing the nappy. Yeah, that's absolutely terrible. And it's the same when it comes to the kingdom of God. God wants to grow us to become mature in Christ. And it's not just one area of our lives. It's in many areas, in every aspect of the fullness of our lives. God wants to bring us to maturity. And, you know, when I look at the church and I even look at my life and going through, so often in the different areas of our lives, we are not mature. We don't understand the ways of God. We are immature. And when I look at, I've been looking at things differently, when people behave differently and don't do things properly, a lot of the times, yes, the evil one can get in there and selfish can get in there, but a lot of the times people love God, but they're actually just immature. They don't understand God's ways and how to deal with that. And we've got to grow from immaturity and move into a place of maturity in God. So that's very, very important. God wants to bring us out of childhood, bring us to adulthood. And then out of this maturity. And I really do believe as we be born again, God wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit and bring us into maturity, into some aspects of the fullness of the Holy Spirit as he lives in us, as we live in Christ. And I've got just some 6 points, and I shared with the worship team in this area. And I believe these areas that we need to contend for and allow God to grow us in these areas. So firstly, when we get filled with the Spirit of God, God in his presence dwells within us. He wants to teach us and get us to grow in loving him. So important. It's such a key aspect. The first thing, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to. We need to love God. God loves us. There's no doubt about it. His unfailing love, but we need to love him, and we need to grow in that. And that's where we grow in Christ. We need to learn to love God. Everything needs to be an expression of love for God. Our worship, our love for what we do is an expression of our love for God. Then loving others as you love yourself. This is never not so easy, but God puts that love in our hearts that we can actually love one another. Then growing in witnessing of Christ, that we have a testimony of Christ wherever we find ourselves. So some of us are not evangelists, but let me tell you, we all need to be telling people about Christ and his goodness and his love. And I want to encourage that as we grow into the maturity in God, we've got to contend for being witnesses of Christ. When last did you tell someone that Jesus loves them? That's witnessing. And I really do encourage you in that, is that our role is, yes, is to come together and to be encouraged and to be part of the family of God. But there are people out there that need the Lord, and they need to know his love. And you are his God's voice and God's hands and God's feet. And will you go out there and tell people that Jesus loves them? Those words are so, so powerful. Because the world's message is not love. The world's message is, we want what you've got, and we'll take away from you, and we will rob you. Not God's message. It's a message of love. And then the authority that God gives us to love people through compassion, of laying hands on the sick and praying for their needs and seeing signs and wonders and miracles take place through us. And then the worship of God. I think this is a key thing, is that we need to learn to worship God privately. You know, it's not good enough just to come and rely on the worship team that comes together and prepare so much for this, and then we come and express song publicly. It's got to be in our personal life. So I'm encouraging myself, grow up in this area of worshiping God privately and then publicly. That's why we gather together, to worship God publicly. And then financially, I just really do believe God wants to bring us to a place of maturity financially. And this is something that God wants to teach us, his ways, his new system, his new understanding, and I'm going to get into that. So the point under that, becoming mature financially in Christ, I can teach you principles, but you will not be convinced. It's got to come through revelation by the Holy Spirit. And as you delve into the scriptures, and I can tell you to do these things, but you need a revelation of these principles. It's not just being a good steward, but it's a matter of hearing God and what he tells you and reveal these things to you. And when he teaches these things to you and your mind gets renewed and there's a transformation that takes place, what happens? Your life changes. And I know as a young Christian, when I gave my heart to the Lord many, many years ago, and when I grasped some of these things and started to apply God's pattern and things in scriptures, it's not just tithes and offerings, it's actually about integrity, it's about righteousness, it's doing paying your tax, doing these things. And when someone says, don't pay VAT, you think, well, I'm going to save some cash on this thing. And you say, no, righteousness, we don't do that. Even if seemingly what the government is doing is not right, it's not our responsibility. We've got to do what is right. And this revelation, when God works in your heart on a daily basis, you know, the things that impact most of our lives is the words we say and every financial transaction that we make. And most of us are doing financial transactions every day. And that has an impact upon our lives. And God wants us to become mature in those things. So in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it tells us about making ourselves living sacrifices before God. But it says in verse 2, it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is where God wants to bring us. We've been subjected to a pattern of this world. God wants to teach us His ways, and He wants to bring transformation to our understanding, to our thinking, and to this mind that He's given us, a very, very powerful entity. You don't throw your mind away. When you come to Christ, even though God does an incredible miracle inside of you, God has given you a mind which is not your brain. Your brain is an organ, but your mind is a part of your soul, and your mind actually works through the physical. It does work like that, but you have a mind, and we are to have the mind of Christ, and God wants to bring transformation. So what does the word transformation mean? It means to change into one thing into another. So it's like a metamorphosis. There's a renewal that takes place. There's a total change. And God wants to do that in our minds, in our thinking, in our understanding, in our outdoing, that our minds will be renewed. That in a sense, the person that we were before, we can't just be saying, I'm a new creation. There needs to be a new person that when you've come to Christ, your life has actually changed. That the way that you were operating before is not the same person that you're operating today. And how does that come in? It comes again through revelation. It comes through renewal of your mind that you begin to act. And 2 Corinthians 10 verses 3 to 5 tells us how do we do that. We do not live in a world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So we come to a place, our thinking needs to be transformed in every area of our lives, and also in this area of finances, that we can get to a place that we can have a new way of thinking, be a new person, and grow into maturity in Christ. As I said earlier, God wants to bring us to a place, not just being a new creation, but He wants us to have a new mind in Christ, that we're no longer of this world, but now that we are in Christ. Very, very important. We need to see that. I'll explain that a bit more. The next point, the kingdom of God. Now, so often many people don't understand that, but I want to talk more in computer terms, and some of you are quite well-versed in computer terms, but how does the kingdom of God actually operate? It's like a laptop or a PC. You have an operating system, and I'm sure most of you are on Windows and have learned to have Windows and Windows 10, and when they change and upgrade the things, you think, what have they done again? They've just changed this thing again. I've got to learn all these things again. But that's imperative for a computer system to work. There's a foundation. There's an operating system that needs to work. And then the applications, and we all use the applications. We use our mail system or our spreadsheet system, whether Outlook or Excel, and a word processor, Google Maps and search engines and Google. We have all these things. And then we've got to be, it's no good just having these things. We've got to be linked to the internet, and it's got to be powered through electricity or through battery power. And that's how a natural computer system actually works. It's the same with the kingdom of God. What is the operating system? It's Christ. It's Christ. And what actually happens, and I want to just encourage you in this thing, when you come to Christ, God takes that old hard drive, and He takes that old software, and He takes it out of that machine, and He throws it away. And that's what the scripture says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer there. It's been taken, and He puts a new hardware in, and that hardware is Christ. He puts Christ inside of you, and He puts new software inside of you, and this software has to be programmed. And we have to learn Christ, and that comes through the Word of God, and that's where the renewal of our mind, and this is where this process comes. So you do not have Windows inside of you, and you do not have Mac inside of you. You have Christ in you. Isn't that incredible? That Christ is in you. This is this wonderful entity that God has placed within you, the kingdom of God, Christ in you. And here, this is where the training comes, and we start working out the understanding of this kingdom within us. Because remember, we don't belong to this world anymore. We belong to a new kingdom. And now we're doing this programming, and we're working out life, and we're living life. And we might not, it might be seamless, but as we bring renewal to that, God wants to do that and break that open. So here we come We've got to reprogram this software, and God wants to teach us about kingdom finances, and he brings us and he throws us, what is the operating system when it comes to finances? And I'm going to get into a bit later, I'm just unpacking the whole thing, but it starts, this operating system, it starts with our tithes and our offerings. That system starts to open up, but it's not just that. That's just the essence of the operating system to get your foundation right, because we're giving back to God what is His, and we start to be living in this life of generosity. But then the applications come in this area. We start to live in this area of sowing seed. 2 Corinthians tells us that we need to learn to not eat our seed. We must eat our bread, and we start to sow seed. And when we do that in our lives, we look for opportunities, because everyone just gets caught up in this aspect of just your operations and the tithes and the offering, but we've got to start sowing, and we've got to look for opportunity to sow, because any good farmer, if he doesn't plant seed, he ain't eating. He's got to sow seed. And in a sense, God puts us in His kingdom. And because God is a farmer, and He loves to sow, and He wants to teach us to sow in this area of finances. And then to live in righteousness, as I explained earlier, to live a righteous lifestyle in every transaction that we deal with in life, to live with integrity, to be good stewards of our finances, to live in this area also of thinking and believing that God wants to bless us and has blessed us going forward, and then praying for others to be released financially. I want to just tell you, one of the greatest blessings is helping others, not just ourselves financially, it's helping others, praying over them and releasing them from the burden of those things. So I really do believe God wants to bring us into a place of renewal, wants to bring us into a place of revival in this area of our finances. The devil does not want you to succeed in this area. I really do believe that the church at the moment is under financial attack. When we've just seen that what the devil has thrown at the world, we talk about COVID, but if you're not reading your newspaper and not seeing, the world is in a world recession. No one's saying those things. The financial analysts are not saying this to the world, but the world is under pressure. And I'm telling you now, the church is under pressure because, yes, in a way, we're in the world, but not part of the world. And God wants, in a sense, to deliver us from that. And He wants to get us back into His kingdom. So we've got to get the systems of the world out of the church, that we start to see God's plan working in the church. So the devil has been very clever, because we've come out of the world and he subjected the church to the things of the world. What are some of the spiritual diseases that we see financially in the church? I do believe poverty is not of God. It's a curse. It's a disease that the devil has put on people. And I don't believe, we see a lot of the world is under poverty, but that was never God's plan. God was to provide for abundance for every one of your needs. As we've even heard the scriptures, the prophecies come today. The devil has brought poverty, and I believe we need to break, because it's a spirit that's upon people that needs to be broken over their lives, and God wants to deliver it. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not preaching this thing that you can claim it and name it, but I am believing that God doesn't want anyone to live in the spirit of poverty. No one. Absolutely no one. And then the area of debt. I really do believe the systems of the world teaches us, we call it fancy when it comes to the business world, we call it gearing, that you gear your business. There's an aspect of that which is truth, but long-term debt that you can never pay off is never been God's plan. So the reality of buying a house and buying a car today, these items are very, very expensive, and no one will never have enough cash to be able to buy those things. But then to do it with wisdom, to do it with God, to get into the debt cycles, but to pay them off as quickly as possible, not to remain in that debt cycle. You see, what is actually happening, that people have never been trained in this area of debt, and they're just perpetuating debt after another. So let's get another credit card or another credit card. And where did the crisis come in 2008? It was a world plane with debt, and got into financial problems, and it caused a collapse. And I want to just say, as a church, if you've got a house loan and you're paying off a car, great, but minimize your debt as much as possible. Try and pay off your debt profile off as quickly as possible, because let me tell you, when you get into financial difficulty comes and things start to get slow, get rid of that. Because then you'll be able to live. God will provide for you in a wonderful way. And then another, I believe, a spiritual curse that's taken place, and we read it in the scriptures, is robbery and corruption. These things are working in our societies. We see it every single day. We pick up our newspapers and we just see. And I thank God what is happening in our nation. We've been praying for righteousness and these things have been unraveled and we're trusting God's going to break. But you know what? It's got to take place in the church. We're looking at the world to change their ways, but we got to ensure those things are not taking place in the church and ensure that that is broken. You see, John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And I really do believe our Father loves us so much and he wants to provide for our every need in every area of our lives. In Philippians 4 verse 19, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." That's the promise. Now there's an outworking of how we need to do that. Now I do believe is that we cannot rely on an external economy, but we've got to rely on God and his word, and we've got to be obedient to him. And I believe one of the biggest problems that the church faces today is not tithes and offerings, it's actually obedience. It's obeying God. That's the key thing. People get caught up with the principle of tithes and offerings, but the reality, it's not that. It's an obedience to God out of a relationship, out of a love for him, that we actually obey him. See, the devil will want to deceive us and bring us into a place where we disobey God's word. And in that deception, he can rob us. The devil will never, ever prosper. He will seemingly prosper, but he will always be stealing, he will always be killing, and he will always be destroying. And he hates us as the church. He hates us to prosper. And he will try and rob us in every single way and take away from us. And I want us to be in a place that we are aware of his schemes, we can stand against his schemes, but also that we can be obedient to our God. Then how does our Father actually work with money? You know, he put us in a world that money is every single one of us have to deal with. And you know, as parents, I want to encourage you, teach your children about money. Don't just let them just get on with money and see that the world teach them about money. Teach them the truths about money, the principles that you've put in your life, let them be in their lives. And I just love it when we do tithes and offerings with parents that bring in their children and they start to give. When you give them pocket money, teach them to give the tithe, to give the offering. Because you see, when those principles come young, they won't depart from those things. Because I'm not going to explain now, but there's a liberty that comes when we obey God in those things. So firstly, how does God work with money? We need to understand that everything is out there belongs to God. It all belongs to him. He created it. All wealth belongs to him. As much as the devil has got stuff under his systems, and we talk about the world systems, but he's not totally in control. God is totally in control. Money is not evil, but the love of money is evil. And unfortunately, what happens when people want to get rich, sometimes they pierce themselves with a lot of pain and they get to love money. And we've seen that. You work in the world, you work out there, and we see people, it's all about the money and more money. And if I've got more money, then I can get happiness, a better house, a better car. And it's not wrong to have a nice house and it's not wrong to have a nice car, but the reality, that's not the essence of it at the end of the day. People get caught by the spur of greed and it destroys. I was in the business world and, you know, more people seem to have, the less they have. You know, I was part of a consulting firm. We consulted on SAP and these guys were earning big packages. And then they would come in and say, they don't have any money. I said, I can't believe it. You're getting paid more than the CEO. How come you're not coming out? But what has happened? They got the bigger house than they can afford. They got bigger cars. All their children have got cars, and this is all debt. They go to the top schools. And all of a sudden, when they look at them, they've got no money. They can't even buy food, but they've got all this stuff. And it's you got to be so wise when it comes to those things. God wants to provide for your need and be joy. You know, I sometimes think the African folk that have got this house, that they've been given this piece of land by the chief, and they've got their house on it, and they've got this little property, and yes, they've got some financial means, but they don't have the worry of this car to pay off, that house to pay off, and the debt profile they live with peace in their hearts. Aren't they more blessed, some than the man that has all the money in the world and he's thinking at night, how am I going to pay this debt off? That could be a curse somehow. So the love of money is evil. You realize also that God doesn't just give us money, he gives us authority to release it. And I think that's a very important principle, is that God wants to teach us his word in doing things, that we need to believe. God even teaches salvation. You need to believe first, and then you receive. And it's the same thing when it comes to finances. God wants to teach us, and only the Holy Spirit can teach you. Then God wants to teach you how to work with money. He wants to teach you how to release money in these things. And you might be thinking, well, I've never done that before. I've just been obedient. I want to say that Jesus spoke. You know, he said to Peter, we need to pay the temple tax. Well, go to the lake and you'll find a fish and our monies will be in the fish. What a miracle that God actually provided that way. But it wasn't always like that. God wants to reveal to us how to provide for those things. So there's something in our heart. When we believe lack, something of that will be a reality. God wants to transform us and renew us in those things. And then as we obey the Lord, and God gives us the pattern, you businessmen, and God gives you a vision for these things, you've also got to trust God in those things. And how many of you found that a businessman, God never gives you the money up front? He gives you the vision to what to do, and then you go and do it, and you trust God, and then he seems to provide in an incredible way. He seems to come through in this thing. And, you know, the greatest testimony is when you've seen God come through miraculously in this time. And God will provide for you. I know our Father will provide, but he wants to work with you. And I really want to encourage you. And I really just sense to encourage business people here that are trusting God in their businesses, and that run with the visions that God has actually given you. If God gives you the vision, he will give you the provision. Yes, be wise in those things, and he will undertake for you in every way. God is a meticulous planner, and we see how he gave details to the building of the temple and even in the fulfillment of Christ's prophetic promises, going to the cross. He was meticulous, and he will be meticulous with you as you go forward. God doesn't respond to your efforts financially. He only responds to your obedience as you obey him and his word. And then God wants us to do our part, and then he will partner with us going forward. I believe that God doesn't put financial boundaries around us in any way. He says that I will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be there with you in all that you're going through, but he wants to teach you how to go forward in that. And one of the lessons we see with Peter, then when Jesus was walking past the boat, and Peter called out, Lord, is that you? And the Lord said, come. And Peter had to get out of the boat, and it took faith to get out onto the water. And he walked on water, and there was a miracle that took place. And then when he took his eyes off Jesus, he got into a place of doubt. He stopped trusting the Lord. Then he started to sink, but the Lord came and saved him. And I really do believe in some way in the area, some of you might be in difficulties at this point in time when it comes to your finances, but God wants to teach you how to get out of that. And you've got to want to listen to what God wants you to do and do what he tells you. He wants you to walk by faith, and he wants you to trust him in everything. And I want to assure you, God will come through for you in an incredible way. He will show you how to deal with things. You know, some of the best advice I got as a young Christian when getting into debt was to pay it off quickly. And what we used to do before I was married to Nikki, when I got an increase, I would up that. When I got a bonus, I would put that into the bond. And I managed, on my first bond on my house, I managed to pay it off within a matter of 7 years. Got it paid off, and the bond term was 20 years. Can I tell you that? Because I heard that and paid that off, that's why Nikki and our family are able to stand behind this pulpit, because we've been financially debt-free from my age of 36. We haven't had debt from the age of 36. Never been in debt since then. And I want to just encourage you, there's something of a freedom and a liberty of being able to be free from debt. And I want to encourage you, God wants to bring you into that place of teaching his ways, not just from debt, but just actually working with money. I believe there's miracles that God wants to show you. I'm just looking at the time. Okay, let me carry on with the next point. What are some of the values of the kingdom of God? The Spirit, in Revelation 2, verse 29, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. God wants to teach us how to handle finances, how to work with money, and not to listen to this corrupt world and the way that it has. Even as I say that, hear my heart in that, please pay your taxes. If VAT has been on a transaction, pay your VAT. Do that. Be honorable in this thing. If it's custom duties, pay those things. When you fill in your tax return, fill it in properly. Even though there might be, the system is seemingly corrupt out there, that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to do it right, because that's the way you open God's blessing upon your life. Ensure that you do it God's way. And then as you do it God's way, we've got to break the authority of the world over our lives. Now, the system of the world will try and trap us into the things. Now, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone here, but be careful of gambling. Gambling is there to rob you of your money. And we've had people in the life of the church before that have been gamblers, and they've lost everything and have never recovered. Because the casino, and I know it seems like fun, and you're off there and you play the machines, and I've done it before and we've won, and hurrah, it's been wonderful. But I don't believe it's God's way. In gambling is not God's way. Can I even say, hear my heart now, the lotto that's been played. You think, well, I hit the lotto, I'm set for life. No, no, what you're doing is trusting in another system rather than trusting in God. And I'm telling you, your Father will never let you down. And we've got to break that authority over our lives. You see, the systems of the world are robbing. We see in our nation, yes, there is lack, but we see the criminal syndicates, we see the drug lords and the systems that they're working on. They're working to steal. We've got to ensure that we don't get part of that. We cannot be buying stolen goods. There's a massive market. What the thieving that's taking place out there? Where are the goods going? Someone is buying that stuff. So there's a market out there, and you know, it fell off the truck or fell off the bus. You know, I got a good price for this. Was it stolen? You don't know that TV. You know, with the recent riots that took place, people selling TVs. Immediately it went onto Facebook, and people were selling a TV that Brian was telling us the story. They're trying to offload the TV. We cannot be buying those things. God wants us to handle and steward money well, and as we steward, God will give us direction in doing those things. You see, we've got to find freedom, we've got to find liberty in these things. God wants to deliver us out of the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of his light. You see, you've been brought out of darkness, and you've been brought into the light. And we've got to be so careful that we're not operating in the devil's system and not in God's system. And we can't have one foot in the devil's system and one foot in God's system. We can't be in no man's land. We either we're in or we're out. And I want to encourage you, please, let's do it the way God's system actually operates, and there we will find the freedom for God in God. How does God bring financial breakthrough? I don't believe God can do it instantaneously. He can bring a miracle around, and you can get provision quickly. But I really believe God wants to teach us his principles, and as we learn God's ways, he teaches us to fish rather than just receiving the gift all the time. So I think it's very important that we got to learn is that, yes, we can receive gifts, but if you keep on just receiving and you never learn to fish, you're never going to grow up financially in God. God wants to grow us in this area of financial maturity. And sometimes some of the difficulties that have come across your life might be your choice that you've made in life, and you've caused that. But if you go before God and you humble yourself and say, Lord, I've made a mistake in this thing. Teach me your ways. You will see God will bring you to a place of understanding, and he will deliver you out of the thing. But it might not be overnight. It might take a period of time to do that. Actually, it might take years to do that. One silly decision, you know, in the area of surety. The Bible warns us, don't stand surety for anyone. And I know the banks want you to sign things and stuff like that, but where you can, please don't stand surety. And we know a good friend of ours, he's passed on to be with the Lord. He had lived, worked all his life, and he became quite wealthy, and he was sitting, and he had a lawyer friend, and the lawyer friend, please just sign this document, stand surety on this business transaction. You're a friend of mine, sign the thing. That business transaction failed, and he lost everything. Did God redeem him and put him back to his former place? No, because he had made a mistake in that thing, and he confessed it, and he repented. But you know what? God provided for him in that, through that, for many, many years. He never lost his dignity, but the reality, that silly, silly mistake of standing surety for someone, he lost everything. And we've got to be very wise when it comes to that. So we've got to be asking, what is preventing God's blessing reaching us? How are we inhibiting God's blessing to flow over us and to be in our lives? What are the blocks? What is stopping the cash flow coming into our lives? Now, I can't tell you what those things are. I think as we said, tithes and offerings is a key aspect, but it also comes, are you operating in integrity? Are you walking in righteousness? Is there a sense where you've been generous? Are you giving in a sense? You know, there's these things. You and the Holy Spirit have got to work these things out. What is he saying to you? What is preventing a flow into your life? And I want to encourage you to do that business with God, because I could be talking to you today, but God wants to do something in your life and wants to bring you to a place. I'm not saying God's going to pour out oodles and oodles of cash, but I'm telling you, he wants to bring you to a place where your needs are actually met. And maybe there's something in your life. It might even be the very words that you're saying that is inhibiting you from being blessed. You might be cursing yourself by the very thing. When you say, no, I don't have enough, and we never have enough, and God, we don't seem to come out at the end of the month. By saying those words, you're speaking death over yourself, and God wants to arrest you in the way. Because remember, we're living in a different kingdom. We're not living like the world. Our words are so powerful, and what we believe is so powerful, and God wants to reveal these things to us. So I do believe that as we work these things out in a relationship with God and we worship God in these things, God will set us free and take us forward. So there are spiritual laws that God wants to teach us. As much as there's spiritual laws in about salvation, you need to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be born again. You need to be a new creation. God wants to teach us these financial spiritual laws that are applicable to us. So what are some of these financial spiritual laws? I really do believe one of the first things, and we see that, and I'll explain that to you now, tithing is part of that. Tithing, if you understand the word tithing, actually means 10%, and it comes from Abraham. Abraham, God blessed Abraham, and God made covenant with Abraham, and a token of that covenant was Abraham gave a tenth of what he had, he gave to the Lord. And it seems God used that to bless Abraham. We see Abraham's life was blessed in everything that he did. But God wanted to continue, and that's why I put it in the Old Testament. He put tithing into the Old Testament. But we're not under the Old Testament. But Jesus, when it comes to the New Testament, talks very little about tithing. He endorses it when the Pharisees are calling for it. He endorses it. He says to them, they tithe on everything. But he takes us to a place and establishes a covenant with us, and he never tells us to tithe. Do you know that in the New Testament? It doesn't tell you that you must tithe and bring offerings. But he brings you to a place of grace, and he brings you to a place of relationship, and he gets you to understand the pattern that's in Scripture that was from the beginning. If you want to see God's financial blessing, he's outworking on your life, he calls you to, out of relationship and out of love, to give to him, because it's grace. It's grace to do that. So you don't have to do anything, but because you love God and you want to be part of his system, that's why you give. God wants to teach us to be generous And you know, if you just give in your tithe, you give in too little because you just given enough. God wants you to grow into the offerings, to give in to others. And one of the easiest ways, and you want to see joy in your life, give to God, but also give to others. And like we've got here, we've got opportunities for the apostolic, for the almsgiving, for the building fund and that. But give to others. And my dear wife, and there's people in the life of the church that just give. They get to the cupboard, I don't need those clothes, and they give away. And they are a blessing to other people. You got stuff in your house that you don't need. Offload that stuff. Don't go to Facebook Marketplace. Get to a place where you actually offload it and give it away. And you'll be surprised. It just opens up. Might not be necessarily physical things that come, but there's a joy that comes to you as you do that. So the spiritual laws that God has put in place is very important that we need to understand. It's a covenant that we have with God, and God wants to understand this covenant. So what is the tithe? It is controversial. It's not legalistic. It's holy unto the Lord. It's a token of a covenant that we have with God. And God wants us, importantly, the tithe is returning what belongs to God. That's a very important thing. And in Malachi, I want to read that from Malachi. It says in Malachi 3, verse 8 to 10, "Will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me?" But you say, "In what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." And this is a promise that God has got for us, is this principle that he gave 400 years before that Jesus came to be applied even into our lives. And a lot of people getting to the caught up between the new covenant and the Mosaic law. But I want to just say to you, there is this truth that God wants to bring through. So this tithe that God wants us to apply, it's 10% of your gross income. I just want to help people to understand what does it mean. It's not of your net after tax. It also includes, this is the integrity that it comes. It comes also of your financial investments, the interest income that you actually earn. We need to be giving of that because that's also income that you've been thrifty, but yes, you give 10% of that. Any gifts, I know it sounds hard what I'm saying, but I'm trying to bless you that you not withhold anything from God. Any gifts that you receive, give 10% back to God. And then calculate accurately. God is an accurate God when it comes to calculating. You know, I was at Cornerstone Church for many years, and in those days they were collecting the tithes and offerings, and the ladies that used to collect the money and some coins fell on the ground. And one of the ladies said in her heart, "Ach, that's not important." And the Lord rebuked her and said, the tithe is holy unto me, that is important. Bring everything to the Lord. So I want to ask you to be accurate when you do that. Do that first. Don't pay your tithe at the end of the month, because then you'll get into difficulty, because then you've gone and spent all your money. And then don't protest with your tithe. How do you do that? This church, these pastors, look how they're abusing the money. It's got nothing to do with you. We stand accountable before God with the tithe. You bringing it back to God, that's very important. You're bringing it back to God, and he will hold those that have to administer it. You've been honest and going forward in that. And then the Lord says, test me. It's the only place in Scripture where God says, test me. Only place in Scripture where God says, test me. And we don't want to put God to the test, but I want to assure you, God never fails a test. He never fails a test as we allow him to do this. So there's a problem in our country. There's corruption. They are robbing the financial system of this world, and we have a problem. And what are we meant to do when it comes to this? We've been praying, haven't we? And God's been answering our prayer, and we've been trusting for righteousness, and we see what's happening in the courts, and there's stuff that is happening out there. But let me tell you, prayer is not the only answer. The answer is the church, and I'm not generalizing now. I believe everyone here is being given to God, but I'm just bringing a principle across. Church worldwide, 80% of the church worldwide is not bringing tithes and offerings into the storehouse. And then there's a problem. Why do we see things going wrong in the church? Is because people, God's people, are robbing Him. And then what actually happens, when we rob God, what does the devil have a right to? He has a right to rob us. Not only can he rob, he has a legal right, my understanding, he has a legal right to rob. If you're not tithing of 10% of you, he has a legal right to rob because you're not giving back God what is his. And he has a legal right to attack the 90%. And then all of a sudden the fridge breaks, the car breaks, and my goodness, everything goes wrong in our lives because we've dishonored God. And I want to just encourage us is that as we hold on to God's word and we give to him what is his, there's something of a liberty and there's a freedom. God wants to bring an open heaven over us. Now the Lord says, test me in this. And I want to encourage you, we need to believe God that when we give to him and we bring our tithes and offerings to him, he's going to open up heaven and he's going to bring us and he's going to bless us in what he has. His blessing, we don't restrict him in any way. Now, if you ask someone that's tithed and applies tithing and offerings in their lives, they will tell you the blessing of their lives, how God. But the one that has not given, you will see that person will disagree with you because they've never got to that place. And I want to encourage us, we need to be in a place where we are giving to God. So I hope this has been encouraging to you. There's so much more that I wanted to share with you. But I really do believe as we're facing these difficult times that we're living in financially, God wants to set us free and liberate us into his kingdom. He wants to bring us into maturity in our finances. And my heart to you is not to put you under pressure, but let's get out of debt. Let's get our balance sheets clean. Try and minimize the debt. Try and get into a place too that you live within your means. Can I even ask you is that start to budget in these difficult times. And trust God when there's a shortfall. Trust him for that shortfall. Work those things out. Let's be wise when you come. Let's be great stewards. Let's be integrous in all that we do. Because the scriptures tell us that one righteous person exalts a nation. That's what Proverbs actually teaches us. And when we start to do it right, we start to change the world around us. But just by the testimony of what we have, because when we do this thing right before God, we give God all the ability and we work it out a relationship, there's a freedom and there's a liberty that comes. God wants to not only provide for you, he wants to, you are his children, and he wants to show you the wonder and the goodness of who he is. Now, some of you might be in a difficult situation that you might have a spouse that doesn't believe in this. Please don't fight that fight. You do with what you can with your finances. Do that, be responsible with those things. Let God bring the conviction in those things. But as a family, and maybe you're not in that position at this time, let there be agreement. Go before God. This is the word of God I'm bringing to you, but go before God and discuss and say, what do we do as a family? How do we do this thing? And as you submit before God, don't just hear me, hear God. And what is he saying to you? And I want to just say from our family, we've been applying this for all our married life and even before I became a young Christian, and I have seen the hand of God upon our finances in an incredible way, and I'm sure a lot of you have got that testimony too of going forward. So I bring this word under the leading of the Holy Spirit because I believe there's tough times coming and God wants to protect us and get into his system and then allow him. So are we going to go through difficulties? Yes. Are there going to be tight times? Yes. But I'm telling you now, when we don't close the heaven and we allow God to open up the heaven because we belong to him and his kingdom, God will pour out a blessing upon us that we cannot contain. Yes, Mom. That's a good question. So I think we need to understand the principle that God puts before us here, the church needs to be applying also. So what we do as a church, the tithe income that you receive, we make sure that we give in 10% and more. And what we do, we don't spend it immediately, but we set the money aside and we call it the apostolic fund. So what I do, as we work it out as our financial team, we work out to ensure that we set aside at least 10% that is kept, and we use that for missions. We use that for getting out, going to the Great Lakes, reaching out into our community for doing that work. And that work is said. And Mom, thank you for that question, because I've seen that when we as a church can contribute into that thing, you as a church, as we give into that, the blessing that's been upon us as a church has been absolutely incredible doing that. So we cannot be saying that to the church to give, and if we're not giving, and we are as a church doing that. So as we do that reporting to you, that is open for anyone to see at any time that we're giving into it. Any other questions? I know this sometimes these are tough things we're talking about here, but any other questions? I don't see that hand. I see that hand. No hands. But I want to just pray that God's hand of grace will be upon us, that he would protect us in this season. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that as we've dealt with this becoming mature financially, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity every one of us has to deal with finance, and we want to do it your way. And Lord, I know that you don't put any burdens upon us, but you want to bring us into a place of liberty and a place of freedom. And I really do ask that to be upon your church and this church specifically, Lord, as we all obey you and we love you and we want to do everything that you've called us to do, that, Lord, that as you've promised in the word, that, Lord, that you would open up the heavens and that you would pour out a blessing that we cannot contain, not just in our financial side, Lord, but in every area of our health, of our relationships, in everything that we do. We just thank you, Lord, that you will do that in our lives now. So we commit ourselves to you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, and you're bringing us to maturity and you're teaching us your truth, and we thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. And just keep our eyes closed. If there's anyone here today and maybe online too, that as you've heard this message and you come to realize that you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, you've never got to a place to believe that he is Lord. If that's you today and you would like to make a commitment, a belief, if anyone here or online, if you'd like to do that, you want to just raise your hand. We'd love to pray with you. Is anyone here today? Anyone online? Let's just say this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for an opportunity to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, I ask you, Jesus, to be my Lord and my Savior. Please forgive me of my sin, and please enable me to walk in freedom, to walk in the liberty, and enable to follow you. Will you also fill me with your Holy Spirit, that from now on that I can love you, that I can walk with you and know you as the living God. So thank you, Lord, for blessing me now with new birth and new life in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. We love you dearly. May you, if you want to come and join us for a quick cappuccino, and remember those that are coming to the water baptism, we'll be at our house at 11:45. God bless you all. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, worship team. That was a great session. God bless you all. Amen.